I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 11. The 1977 Chevy Monte Carlo of Junior Johnson Racing, sponsored by Holly Farms, driven by Kaylee Yarbrough. And that was your cup champion that year. Mm-hmm. When they had speeding in the pit lane. No, I shouldn't say speeding in the pit lane. No speed limit in the pit lane.
Yeah, no speed limit. Yeah. Yeah.
Safety equipment was minimal in the pit lane.
It was still of high importance, just high importance for the day.
Gentlemen got, drivers got their water through a long stick and a Coca-Cola cup. Tiremen carried two tires. There was only one, two, three, four, five guys over the wall. Five guys over the wall. There was the dump can guy and the catch can guy. Now we have 47. Anyways, in all forms of racing. But anyways, so that was exciting. It was a fantastic livery. Orange. Look at that. Look at that driver's suit.
Yeah.
It looks like real Nomex, too. About, you know, half a layer. Kale probably had a smoke going on in the car when he was driving. Open face helmet with a mic and goggles. That's awesome. No Hans device either. Anyways, that could have helped a few. But anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR in the desert, Phoenix. Briefly. Talk Formula One in the desert at night. Jeddah.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia. We will talk IndyCar season opener at St. Pete, not the desert, but in Florida. And then we'll have news and notes.
Yes.
And a look ahead to one of our favorite events, the Sebring 12-hour this weekend. Only IMSA. Mm-hmm. No WEC doubleheader this weekend.
No.
That's a shame. I missed that.
Yeah.
Last year was the high point because, like, during the WEC race, they had the Elon launched his rocket.
Oh, yeah,
and they were all watching it. And they had not, like, all the European guys hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was so cool. Anyways, well, who knows? He's going to launch the big one this weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Right.
Nate, once again, is on assignment
in
an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be joining us next week.
Yeah, he'll join
us. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of some, you know, it's kind of a little weird, you know, that I decided to break down and go NASCAR with this. I mean, I'm sure he would have preferred that I went with Denny Hamlin, but. Yeah, I went for a real driver, not a crybaby. Anyways, let's talk NASCAR quickly. I do mean quickly. Christian and I actually did catch a good chunk of this race out at dinner the other night.
Yeah, I was not paying attention to
it. I wasn't paying attention, but every time we looked up, somebody was in a crash. So
yeah.
That was not unexpected. The highlight was when we first got to the establishment, Joey Logano got taken out, so my night was off to a good start. So, and of course, he blamed everyone else but himself, so that was awesome. The race itself came down to, I will say this, a Joe Gibbs battle between Truex, Ty Gibbs, and our winner, Christopher Bell.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was a high point for Nate's RFK Racing. Christopher Buescher did finish second, and amazingly, he avoided every crash, Keselowski, with a fourth place finish. No idea how it happened. But Mr. Consistency this year, Ryan Blaney, finished fifth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that, but I think I believe he still tops the point standings. I will check that in a second. So there we go.
What does Blaney have? He's got a
Ford Penske.
No, for finishes. Fifth this weekend.
Yeah.
Second last weekend.
He got wiped out at Daytona, but he's still points wise. Anyways, Michael McDowell bounced back with an eighth place finish, so good for him. Kyle Larson, I have to say this, Hendrick, it was a swing and a miss on all parts there.
Could have been trying stuff.
Yeah, could have been.
I mean, you're already in playoffs, so
because the top place Chevrolet team was Trackhouse.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, anyways, this is what the season finale, too.
Yeah, it will be. So maybe they were messing around with the fall setup. Yeah. I mean, since one of their guys is already two of their guys are already locked in.
That's right.
Let's just quickly shift over to the Xfinity series. Chris Smith won. Or Chad Smith. I don't know. Sheldon Creed finished third.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Hill on a roll again. Finished fourth with Cole Custer fifth. And from the land down, countries down under, the Kiwi, Shane Van Gisbergen, finished sixth.
Yeah.
He's got a top three in three races. He got crashed out at Daytona.
Yeah.
And Vegas finished. Was it Vegas? No, Atlanta finished third. Had a crappy race at Vegas, and then finished sixth here. So,
yeah.
Proven he's on the road to Cup. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the standings real quick in the Cup side. Hopefully, I can get that up. Ryan Blaney's your point leader, although he is not locked in. Kyle Larson is locked in. Along with William Byron. I forget who else has a win. Hold on. I'm just double checking.
Bell.
Suarez has a win. And Christopher Bell has a win.
Four for four on unique drivers winning.
Yep. So continue that pace. Blaney will need a win to get in. Yep. Oh, no. The point season. No, because Truex proved that wrong. Because the season point champion can do it without a win. Because Truex didn't get a win last year.
Yeah, but there were not more winners.
Right. That's right. So
we have yet to accomplish that
feat. So all right, and unfortunately that closes out NASCAR. Enough. Where are they next this weekend? Hold on.
Don't know.
Hold on.
Kansas.
No. Wait. Yes. No. Bristol. Not on the dirt.
No.
So that's exciting. So that'll be fun. Sunday afternoon race. Do not like afternoon races at Bristol. Prefer the night race. So, anyways, however, in 2 weeks, we go to COTA. Looking forward to that.
SVG will rise.
SVG, yep. Looking forward to that. Also, I saw in Xfinity, Connor Zilich will be making his Xfinity debut there. I like that.
That'll be good.
Hopefully he wins. That'll be fun. That'd be another Trackhouse car, because he's run Trackhouse. Like it. All right, let's move to the other side of the world, to the desert, to Jeddah Street Circus. Fast flowing.
Sure.
28 turns.
27.
That's a lot of turning.
The only thing about Jeddah is just those like awkward chicanes that they throw in.
Kind of quirky. Like, I do like the corner where they that banked hairpin they have.
Yeah,
they swing around, like it's kind of cool.
I wish it was more progressive banking.
Yeah. Let's just cut to the chase. It was not a thrilling race at the front.
No. Okay. But the camera work did a better job at highlighting.
It was forced to.
Yes. The battles.
In one of two ways, yes, too. Yes, we'll get to it. Max ran away with it after every night being up until 4 a.m. playing iRacing.
Sunday drive on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it must have been all that iRacing from the night before.
Yeah.
I got nothing to say on that. It's just hilarious. What do you want? Kid's a 20-something-year-old. That's what he does. Anyways, besides, he's like one of the best drivers in the world right now. Congrats to Sergio, finally. I did get annoyed at the start. Max got the jump. Sergio got the jump. And he could have got by Leclerc,
but he didn't need to.
I guess that's the thing, right?
Like Leclerc at that point, Leclerc's desperate to stay ahead,
right?
And
but show Perez, some stones.
Yeah, but Perez has the car,
right?
So it's just a matter of how long is he going to stay right. behind him? And right. I know at that point, when you're battling Max at any point,
yeah. Max is going to squeeze you.
Well, not that. Anytime, any advantage you give to Max,
yeah.
it's going to be hard to get back.
Right.
So I don't know if he would have gotten him, but the gap, it's not like he really walked away with this one.
Who?
Max.
Well, it was only 13 seconds.
Eight. Because Perez had the five-second penalty.
Oh, sorry.
So.
Oh, my God. He had a five-second penalty. He's still 19 seconds ahead of... I'm sorry. Perez had a five-second penalty.
Yes.
Finished 13 seconds, time adjusted.
Yes.
13. But still finished 5 seconds ahead of Leclerc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. That was the race. Qualifying, only surprise really in qualifying. There was a bigger surprise, but... I want to give a shout out to Team of the Weekend, to Haas.
Yeah.
All right. People can debate that, but first off, first practice session, they were down the bottom. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they had a plan. Second session, they got a little quicker. Third session, they were definitely in the mix for potentially getting into the top three.
Yeah.
Because the Hulk put it, you know, was kind of quick.
Q3,
yeah. Yeah. Well, when we get to qualifying, the Hulk worked his way through. Now, K-Mag was not that far behind every time, so they were actually able to switch the tires on. The only problem was, I guess, in the second session, they kind of botched K-Mag's outlap and timing of that. So, anyway, so that kind of got screwed up. But the Hulk got in, but then the car died because they didn't fuel it right. So, anyways... So Haas gets team of the weekend. They get,
yeah.
Okay. I will. So we, you know, as we went into the weekend, there was all this stuff that Carlos wasn't feeling well and stuff like that. You know, came to the track on the first day, toughed it out first two sessions, and then overnight, he was like not even good.
Yeah.
And it turns out he had the Alex Albon syndromes, had to have his appendix out.
Yeah,
which led to a funny. Well, some people didn't think it was funny tweet from Alex to Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
I know a doctor. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think Alex definitely sent it tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Considering that Alex almost like went into a coma in Italy, but that's Italy. Anyways, so at that point, Ferrari's down a driver.
Yeah.
So Fred decides to go with Ollie Bearman.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of exciting. So, you know, I'm like, he's driving a Ferrari, so we'll definitely get the Q2.
Yeah.
Okay. Although what he did was from Q1 to when he got knocked out, he was competitive. I mean, it was probably a little bit of being cautious with the car in Q2 late that kept him from overhauling Lewis. On that final run, possibly. You know, he doesn't want to throw the car away.
No, I think the final run was because he botched the first attempt at it.
First attempt, yeah.
So he was on scrub tires.
Scrub
tires. The tires weren't as fresh on the first go as they would have been.
But, I mean, well done.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome job. You know, they clearly, you know, the Q3 session, they loaded the car up with downforce so he wasn't going to get in trouble, things like that. But he, you know, he drove through that and was competitive, you know?
Right.
I thought he did an awesome job. What I did find funny was, you know, Lewis is all jacked that he's going to be the next British driver of Ferrari, and oops, you're not. I just find it funny.
I didn't even hear him.
Who? No, he didn't say, no. No, Crofty and all those guys were, you know, it's like he's going to be the next great British driver of Ferrari since Mansell. And then, well, guess what? You're not.
I didn't watch Sky's broadcast. No, weren't they having like a field day during the race of having four Brits on the grid?
They probably had a field day. Anytime this the Union Jack is flying, it's
because I'm sure it was going like crazy when it was Lando, Lewis, and Behrman at the end there.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And then just up the road was Russell.
Right, but they weren't fighting for. They were just fighting for the mid top five. I know. It's like whatever. I know. It was all UK. 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, because Alonso got fifth, right?
Yep. Russell got sixth. Behrman got seventh. Lando got eighth. And the People's Champion, Team LH, was ninth.
Yeah.
Just ahead of the Haas.
Right.
We'll get to that. Anyways. But get to the race. Again, Behrman, great job at the start. Kept out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, stuck his nose in a couple
stuck
times.
Stuck his nose in, but got out of trouble, stayed there. Yeah. I do like Ollie's dad, though. The poor guy was having a heart attack in qualifying. Not so much in practice, but in qualifying. Every time they went to him, he's like, I thought he was going to pee his pants or something. But, oh, my God, it was awesome. So it was awesome, though. But what a great job. Mm-hmm. Fred gets full props on that.
Yeah.
Fred Vasseur.
Yeah.
Not Fred Alonso.
Yeah, who else would you throw in that seat?
There's been
you could have with the limited options that you had.
No, they were talking like, is there somebody that they... There's no other Ferrari driver. Like technically, like Albon could get plucked and put into Mercedes, say if Lewis, whatever. When they went into the season, like last year, Giovinazzi was hanging around. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, why don't you bring some of the WEC guys? And he was like, no, because they got to be around the world traveling. Mm-hmm. Because we got test sessions going on everywhere. So he stuck with the plan, which is Behrman. So good for him. Mm-hmm. Although it meant Behrman gave up pole position in F2. Mm-hmm. So I don't care. Great job, scored points. So awesome for him. Kept, contributed to the Ferrari cause.
Outside of Red Bull, Ferrari was the second highest scoring team.
Right. And you have to credit him for some of those points. I mean, obviously, Charles. Ollie got driver of the day, right?
Yeah.
Which he deserved.
Yes.
I will say this. Somebody who richly should be considered was Piastri.
Because
he finished fourth. Oh, were you going to go with the Hulk or K-Mag?
I was going to go with K-Mag.
All right. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, that McLaren. Now, the McLaren's a weird car. Apparently, in the fast...
High-speed corners.
High-speed corners. It's apparently faster than the Red Bull. Mm-hmm. But down the straights, it's like somebody put a parachute on it. Mm-hmm. And Piastri finished fourth. Mm-hmm. He was four seconds ahead of Fred.
Yeah,
who once again carried Aston Martin on his back.
You can continue, but I have something to say about that.
About Fred?
About Aston Martin?
Okay.
In their day,
The other surprise obviously was the Hulk. Mm-hmm. With a big assist to K-Mag.
Yeah.
Now, people are making a big thing out of this, okay? Albon finished ahead of K-Mag, okay?
Yes.
All right. But, I mean, for anyone to sit there and complain about what K-Mag was doing is out of their mind, because wasn't it at... Where was it where Yuki... It was Zandvoort a couple of years ago where Yuki went out, had a problem with the car, came back in, goes back out, unloosens the seat. Remember they tossed that whole session around and one of the AlphaTauri got a pretty decent qualifying position out of it? Not him. Because they were making... AlphaTauri was mouthing off about the whole thing with K-Mag blocking and stuff. Holding the field back. But there was the race like 2 years ago where Yuki went out, they had a problem with the car. Then they sent him back out, and he caused one yellow. Then he went back out and caused another. Then he got out of the car and put his seatbelts on. You don't remember that?
No.
It destroyed a whole session, qualifying session.
Okay.
So, you know, or race. I can't remember if it was qualifying or race. But, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, they were playing games that day. They sent him out. The car was busted. Go back.
I'm completely lost in your connection.
Go look it up. Go look it up. Look up Yuki Zandvoort.
Okay.
Delay a race. Anyways. So, I thought K-Mag played the team game. It's kind of like when...
When Perez did it for Verstappen.
Yeah, or what was the race where Carlos backing him up?
Singapore. He was playing with... Well, he was playing with Norris.
He was playing with Norris with the DRS.
But still.
It was essentially the same thing.
It was very much a mind game.
Yeah. But he was doing the exact same thing, you know? So, no problem. That's team tactics. That's the way it rolls.
What surprised me, because I was watching the F1 TV guys, they didn't pick up on that being a strategy.
No.
For like 10 laps.
Right.
Because I was like, I noticed that K-Mag was going slow, and they were like, I'm like, oh, all right. Like, maybe something's wrong with the car. Yeah. And then, like, it got pretty apparent that.
That's what he was doing.
He was backing the field up.
Well, I don't think, because at that point, no one's really, like, they were probably more interested in that midfield, the mid pack of the 10.
No, but at that time, K-Mag and that group of cars was the attention.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, I don't think they saw the fact that Hülkenberg was further up on the wrong tire after the safety car.
It happens.
And that gap was growing at a rate of like, he's going to get away with a pit stop difference. And he did. I thought
it was genius.
Yeah, outside of Behrman, I thought that was the drive of the day.
Yeah.
So, and I know you said Piastri did well, but Piastri was on the better strategy when the safety car came out. So I think that was more, not, I don't want to say handed to him, but he ran his race pretty normal compared to everyone else, because there was only like three or four drivers that didn't pit under the safety car that had to make a last minute stop.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Aston Martin. I know Stroll had his crash.
Yeah.
But before we get on this bandwagon of, oh, he stinks, whatever, like, yada, yada.
Yeah, I'm not going to get on the stinks thing.
I think had he not crashed.
Yeah.
Alonso and Aston Martin wouldn't have scored as many points.
Because they would have been laying back?
Because they would have been, their pace would have been 9 and 10th.
Oh, okay.
So, Alonso getting 5th place points.
It's pretty good.
Was better than I think they would have done okay. Together.
Oh, no, that's fair.
So, unless something else would have happened.
Yep.
But,
yep.
That's my take on that. I'm sorry. Even if they both beat Behrman and were 8th mm-hmm. and 9th, I still think they would have finished there
rather than getting
gotten less points.
And obviously, in all of it, obviously Stroll's crash opened the door for Haas to get a point. So
it opened up Haas to get a point, Behrman to get as high as he did, Piastri to get as high as he did. Because really, out of the top 10, Lando and Lewis lost out the most.
Right. I would agree.
And they didn't come in because the pit lane was so busy.
Yeah.
Zhou and Alfa Romeo did not capitalize. Yeah,
and Ricciardo got hosed in the pits by a bad pit stop, which no one caught on to for like the longest time.
Yes. However, I don't think that excuses him for how far back he was when Magnussen was starting to back the field up into him, basically, because that's how far behind he was.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely a questionable weekend
for him. That pit stop didn't. Yeah. Anyways, just real quick on the points, Max is – he's pulling away. He's ahead. Sergio second got an 8-point gap on Leclerc. Mm-hmm. The snitch. Let's talk about the snitch once again. Can he just not say anything and just drive?
About what comment?
About thinking that Lando jumped the start.
Okay, I'm gonna go on the side of he did because he moved before.
He moved, but he didn't. The beacon didn't break.
I get that. So that and this is where I also for everyone saying that he jumped the start. I haven't seen like evidence spread around everywhere of it like proving that he did. Because when I watched one replay, it didn't look like he got out of the box.
Well, that's what the whole point is. The transponder on all the cars is in the exact same spot.
Yeah.
It's not like karting where if you put it in your lap. You know that. Yeah. All the transponders are in the exact same spot on the car. And they're exact same whatever. So if you move and go over and it triggers, it's gone. He didn't trigger it. Simple as that.
No. And I know he moved.
He
right
moved.
Right before but he the caught lights. It
and then...
I know he moved before the lights went out, yeah. But he also did stop.
He did stop, yeah. But so, George is just he is like the kid at school that just rats everybody out.
No, I think he's fine saying that on that one because that's distracting already. That someone moved, like that's going to catch your eye.
I got it, anyways. But it's just with him. It's everything with him.
The ones that I would get up on him about is if he can't.
Pass somebody
if he couldn't get around Alonso and Alonso was running wide and, he was start, being like he's off track like those are the ones I have no sympathy
for. I got no sympathy for him. I'm not team George. No. Won't be allowed in England. Piastri is sitting in fifth, good for him. We have Carlos, even though he missed the race, sitting in sixth with 15. Fred with 12, Lando with 12, and then Lewis at 9, and Berman's 10, and then the Hulk.
I'm sorry, Berman with 10 points or Berman in 10th?
10th with 6.
10th with 6, okay.
Let's go to the team standings. Red Bull, 87. Ferrari, second with 48. McLaren, two ahead of Mercedes. There's a little bit of a gap to Aston, and then a 12-point gap to Haas. So Haas is now in the pay because they have a point. So
every team is in the pay because there's 10
teams. Right, but you get more money with points. Yes, so anyways, all right. Our next race in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
In the land down under?
Yeah.
Australia? So...
For the actual round one.
Touche. I like that. So that's good news. All right. So we'll talk about that. Let's move to IndyCar. Season opener, St. Pete. I thought the on-track action was fine. The only thing I didn't like was the muddled up practice sessions on Friday where they had you went out, you ran, the rookies ran, then everybody ran, and then they stopped, and then it was like these alternating 10-minute sessions.
Yeah.
And then what happened was, guys, had braking issues, ran wide in the corners, threw out a yellow flag, it took 2-3 minutes. Yeah. It's just no flow to the practice. Let's just get out there and let them practice. It's a street track. It's hard enough.
Yeah. I mean, their counterpoint to that was, it's going to force guys to get out there because it's limited time. So you're not sitting there with dead track during practice. But it's practice. It shouldn't be
a race to beat the clock every 5 minutes. So hopefully they'll address that. But I think it's around for a bit. Qualifying was pretty good.
Yeah.
We had Newgarden with a fine effort, Rosenquist with a equally fine effort.
Yeah.
We had Herter, and then who else was?
Pato,
McLaughlin.
I think that was your six.
Yeah, that was your six. And then Grosjean was up there too, which was great.
Yeah.
the race itself came, I think the race itself overall, it was a tire strategy race.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it. And then it was two things. It was what tire you were on, at what time you had to save fuel, and at what time you could go. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the black tires at the end were the way to go.
Yeah.
So, which was fine. There was a lot of fuel saving going on. Mm-hmm. But the Chevys definitely were the cars to beat. Mm-hmm. That weekend, Colton being the highest placed Honda, followed by, well, see, it's no, funny. No.
Didn't Palou beat him?
No.
No?
Colton beat him.
Oh, okay.
Colton beat him. So it was Colton, Palou, and Rosenquist in Hondas.
Yeah.
All right. And then Rossi with a nice finish into the top 10. Dixon scraped into the top 10, followed by Rinus VK. Rich Hemingway's number one driver, Santino Ferrucci, with a fine 11th mm-hmm. place. So, that was exciting.
Good for Floyd.
Good for Rich. Kyle Kirkwood, and then Kyle Amilott and Kiffin Simpson. Kiffin Simpson, nice race from the back of the pack mm-hmm. to 14th. Another one that drove from the back of the pack to a nice finish was Jack Harvey, moved up 8 places. Somebody brought his car home, although they tried to torch him, was Colin Brown. Car caught fire on a pit stop as he was leaving.
I gotcha.
So, but it's not an IndyCar season unless a Dale Coyne car catches fire in the pits. So, Grosjean unfortunately got caught up in something. Ericsson had an issue. Stingray Rob had a break. Oh, that was wild. Mm-hmm. And then Marcus Armstrong got. He got tagged by Grosjean.
Yeah.
Okay. So too bad for him. Another driver who had a nice outing, Pietro Fittipaldi.
Yeah.
Again, from the back to finish 15th. And I believe he was the top finishing RLL car.
From the back, how many are in this race again?
There were 27.
Okay.
So he was, Colin started 26th. I think Pietro started 25th. And Kiffin Simpson started 24th. Mm-hmm. And Harvey was in there somewhere too.
Yeah.
August Canapino had a decent run. But I mean, from RLL, it was Pietro.
Yeah.
Graham had a kind of a crap day. I think, who's Rosenquist driving for Shank?
Shank.
Yeah. So, Blomqvist.
Yeah. Well, okay. Two things. The pace out of the Shank car from Rosenquist.
Yeah.
Surprised me. The pace from Grosjean out of the Junkos car.
Surprised me. Yep. I think it surprised Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means, and I'll go on to add, Canapino was not last. He was midfield.
But where he finished last year.
That's where he finished.
Yeah.
But the pace was better trying to hang on the lead lap.
But he did exactly what he did last year, and he didn't get in trouble. And
No. So. And this year was less of a attrition race than last year.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it was, because it wasn't the big cluster crap.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see where Canapino will stack up now if Grosjean's really dragging that car further.
Yeah,
up,
and the unfortunate thing. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, we'll get to it in a second. So I mean, but Jay New did a great job. Strong start to the season. So good for him.
I mean, he kind of had a Verstappen like performance.
Yeah. Out of nowhere for fourth though was Will Power.
Will and Scott McLaughlin.
This was when Power tried to take the inside on McLaughlin.
Oh,
and it was like, I think Penske almost had a heart attack. Yeah. That was awesome. Will Power. Anyways, so a good start to the season, mm-hmm. I thought. I don't want to dwell on the TV coverage, but atrocious. It was awful.
I'm now determined that
I'm going to watch the race, but I am going to be going on Sirius and listening to the guys on the IndyCar Racing Network because it was awful. It was awful. The only highlight of the entire program is Hinchcliffe.
Yeah.
Okay. All you get is Diffie and T-Bell screaming and yelling over one another. Secondly, are we watching a race or are we watching lifestyles of the IndyCar drivers? Because I don't really care who got married, who got engaged, who had 12 kids over the offseason. I really don't care. If you want to talk about guys moving teams, team members moving teams, things like that, new additions to the paddock in terms of stuff like that, absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But I do not care about somebody's social life, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, they made a huge deal that, you know, Jay New, like, bounced everybody off social media. Well, good for him. I don't care. It's not, but, like, yeah. It didn't deserve 5 minutes on the broadcast. And then secondly, IndyCar, with their hyping up the series program, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, they do these ads, and it's, ugh, it's awful. The pit reporting was terrible. Awful.
Who's down there now?
Kevin Lee. This woman, Georgia Hanaberry, and was it Marty? He's always there.
Marty Snyder?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was terrible. It was like, can you guys at least get Kligerman and get Dylan Welch to call it down there? Even Brian Till. Like, well, get some people.
What were they talking about down there? That
they weren't talking about anything. They just, you know, they were just talking about, like, you know, who's on the pit stand? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? Like, they didn't, you know, no one got up and talked to anybody, you know, during the race about strategy or anything.
It was more of them just watching the race on one of the monitors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but they were in the pit lane. They were down
there. Just from the pit lane, they were watching the race.
But there was no, you know, I mean, go back to the day when you had Gary Gerrell down there, like, falling over the pit wall, calling, you know, what's going on. I mean, I want to see that. You know, it was horrible. So, I don't know. I guess that's why IndyCar is not going to be on NBC next year. So, anyways, terrible. But I'll be going to do the radio and TV. I'm going to mute the TV and listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Because the guys on the IndyCar radio network are much better. All right. That's enough of my rant on that. Kind of want to go back to Formula One for a second before we leave that. Oh, the Formula One weekend. Congratulations to Enzo Fittipaldi.
Yeah.
Won the feature race. Mm-hmm. Completely on the correct strategy for it. Made one of the most hellacious passes I've ever seen, going three wide into a corner to take the lead. And it was well done, Enzo. Mm-hmm. So that was fantastic. Good for him. You know, other than that, I mean, Berman, I'm not sure where it would have went with Berman because he got taken out. Well, it shouldn't say got taken out. He got stepped up. So we don't know where Ollie would have done on the weekend. But you know, great, good race. I thought it was fun with the Formula 2 cars. I thought they did great. It was also the first race of Formula 1 Academy. Mm-hmm. Good race. They're kind of cool little cars, like Formula 4 cars.
F4, yeah.
Yeah, nice. It was fine.
Yeah.
Good race. And there was a couple questionable moves. Leah Block got caught up in two of them. Not her fault. She just got caught up in people's making dumb mistakes, which is bound to happen, I guess. So, but Dorian Pinn is definitely the class of the field, though. Race two led wire to wire, except apparently didn't see the checkered flag at the end and raced around, took the checkered flag twice, which in the FIA world is a disqualification. Bit harsh. Because the driver is focusing on the track, and there was no communication from the team as to that was the end of the race.
There was no communication, and I think the other thing that I heard was the flag came out within 100 meters away from the line.
Yes, so she never would have saw it.
So, unless she, like, saw it out of the corner.
Well, don't forget they have the halo, so very hard to see.
Right.
So, and the lead that she had on the Abby Pullman, I believe it is, she finished second. She saw it because it flashed up on the board. Right, saw it, but anyways, rules are rules. I'm not going to go into it.
Cool. So then, are we all good on this?
Yeah, that's all. I just think I know who's going to be. I hate to say it, we think Max is going to win the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
I think Dorian's going to win.
Well, she's
awesome.
she's like a Chadwick 2.0.
She might be better.
Series. Yeah,
she's really good.
The one thing I did want to talk about in F1, the penalties on K-Mag
Oh, yeah.
And the... Yeah, yeah, because it was the... penalties overall. The jump start didn't make a whole lot of sense, and there wasn't really any replay to go back and watch what happened. Mm-hmm. Like it more in depth. Like, it would have been really nice, because they only showed, like, 5 seconds of that jump start, and then that was it. The Perez penalty for an unsafe release, fine.
Yep.
I get it. Although it would have been nice to have some clarification on, with double stacking in the pit lane, yep, what constitutes, yep, unsafe. The two penalties on Magnussen did not make any sense to me, because his causing a collision was about a racing incident, mm-hmm, just as much as a racing incident as you could get. I mean, I know he faded into Tsunoda, or it wasn't Tsunoda, Albon, whoever he faded into. It's a tight course, and I mean, what more can you do other than maybe leave him a little bit more room? But if stuff's getting tight with how wide the cars are as is, and it's not like he put him out of the race,
mm-hmm,
like he just brushed him. And then the penalty that he got for passing Tsunoda for using 2 inches more of track, and arguably I think he went slower,
yep,
on that exit because he had to climb over the, yep, curb and then get back on, swerved as fast as he could to get back on the track. It wasn't like he cut the track,
yep,
either. Like he made an effort to get back on the road because he slightly overshot it,
yep,
and cut and made an effort to get as back as quickly as he could, not cut the corner to get the fastest lap as he could. Or I'm sorry, take the fastest line as he could. So those two penalties for being 10 seconds each, that's absurd. I don't get that. And then same thing with the Dorian Pinn penalty. I understand it, but if there's a miscommunication in all of it, because that's not her, that was the second race.
Right.
Like, she did the first race fine, and then the second race...
Was the first race, like, last year at COTA?
For the academy. No, the last race was W Series. I think the first race was Miami
last year. When were they in Miami? Like last year. Like, it's kind of crazy, but this is like the 2024 season, so.
No, I know it's different.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Anyways.
But still, the fact that she got a penalty in the second race, having already won the first race, something missed.
Yeah.
In that spot. So, I mean, I don't know how you can really fault her,
right,
for that penalty, because clearly as she's going, and I'll attest to it too, I think she did the right thing anyways, because if you didn't see the checkered flag,
yeah,
you keep going.
Because they said something to her, and she goes, I didn't see the checkered.
Yeah.
And they never said anything after.
No.
And it's like, tell her the race is over, and she would have stopped.
And, I mean, granted, I also didn't hear any of this, but I don't know if the team went and defended her.
No, they were,
or
like...
if they just...
They kind of, I think they took it because they realized they screwed up.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
If they are just taking it, then they're assuming that they saw that the checkered flag came out with enough time for her to see it.
The checkered flag was thrown. You can't debate that. Whether it was thrown late or early, again, somebody. This is the other thing I have a problem with the FIA. And any race series that has the celebrity starter or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, enough. Because that had a celebrity... That checker got thrown by somebody who was not an official flag person. Enough with this, okay?
The counter to this is, if you're going to do it, the electronic board over the starting grid, it needs to flash.
Can we just not do it?
It needs to flash.
I know, but it just...
Because there
just
needs to be other visuals that the race is over.
Yeah, because if she threw it at the last... If they threw it, yes, the last second, yeah, yeah, like, how is she supposed to...
Exactly.
And here's the thing. You can't see with that halo. You can't look up and see.
Yeah, no, your vision is obstructed.
You know, and you got your helmet, and you're trying to do this. Wait, you can't... Yeah. You don't have... So, but the onus, again, is on the team. Like, hey, checkered flag, great race.
Yeah.
Never said it.
Yeah,
because they were all whooping it up in the pit lane, mm-hmm, you know. So I have no doubt it's not going to be a, she'll overcome it.
Oh yeah. No, so, I don't.
Anyways, just, it, you know, suck. But anyways, all right. Okay. That kind of moves that.
IndyCar, the one thing we, because we recorded too early last week, that we missed the announcement of Colin Brown and Jack Harvey.
No, we got it. No?
No.
Oh, well, yeah, Colin Brown, Jack Harvey.
We guessed.
Yeah, and then,
that it would have been likely then, but yeah.
Nolan Siegel's going to be in for Colin at, well, he'll drive the car Colin drove at Thermal.
No?
Colin's not driving at Thermal.
Oh, he's not?
No. It's Harvey and Nolan Siegel.
Oh, I thought he was driving at Thermal, and then
no,
that was going to be his last race.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think I thought he was just St. Pete, and they're reevaluating. And, I mean, unless George writes a big check. Yeah. Which he can.
Yeah, that'd be good. I would like to see
that. Yeah, I would like to see that, too. We'll, there's no, he has no conflicts, so George could write a check if he wants.
No, he does have conflicts.
Colin does?
Running with George
in some, in what, SRO,
whatever he's running with him in,
he's running WEC with him.
Yeah, there's conflicting dates with IndyCar.
With WEC in IndyCar?
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah,
how is that? Because Le Mans there isn't, because Janu is supposed to be going to Le Mans.
It's not just Le Mans. There's the rest of the calendar,
all right.
Or the ELMS calendar, right. Whatever it is.
Yeah. So the next, oh yeah, that's the next thing, is the exhibition race at Thermal. That's going to, yeah, I'm not even going to bother with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lee Diffie will tell you that's cool. It's very cool. That's what he's going to say. So I'm like, have at it. You can watch that thing. All right. Let's go ahead to Sebring, which is here now. Because I think the schedule. Hold on a second. Let me just pull that up. I always love this one. I love the fact that I've been able to hack in and get this. I shouldn't hack in and get it, but I know where it is.
I'm sorry, what are you pulling up?
The competitors' Sebring schedule.
Oh. Oh, just what's going on the weekend?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
It's always, here it is. Latest event info, official schedule. Here we go. So today was safety and tech inspection. Let's get to today. Everybody loaded in today. It's very exciting. Track walk was going on this afternoon. And then tomorrow, whoop, 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 here we go. We got practice for the Porsche Carrera Cups, Lamborghinis, Michelin Pilot, and the Mazdas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a weekend that is. That's better than the race. Thursday, we got qualifying sessions, practice for the big guys, qualifying for the Michelin Pilot, race one for the Porsche Carrera Cup, race one for Lamborghini, and race one for the Mazdas. The Mazdas. Race two for the Mazdas is Friday morning. Race two for the Lamborghinis is at 6:05. And, at night. 6:05
at night. Yeah,
and
night.
Guess what time the race for the Porsches are?
7:15 at night. Oh, you get a night race.
Friday night. Better bring the iPad for that one.
Or it's going to be very much a sunset into darkness.
Somebody better bring the computer and the iPad for that one. I'll do both. And then we have the big race on Saturday. So
yeah.
Anyways, just. Couple quick notes. Lamborghini Super Trofeo, 12th season.
Mm.
And we were at race one at Lime Rock. And we, our biggest joke
was
of that.
Was the very first
that one? That was the very first one in the States.
Yeah.
And I remember the running joke was, we thought three cars, like, they had a bunch of cars.
Oh,
we just thought two were going to finish.
Yeah.
And it was actually two of the best races on the wheel. yeah. weekend. It was actually pretty good. This weekend, 37 cars will tee it up. In the pro, pro-am, and amateur divisions. Mm-hmm. In the pro division, well, I expect. The pro division is actually pretty cool. Well, Ryan Norman and Danny Formel, well, they'll probably run away with it. But we have one Ernie Francis Jr.
Oh, that'll be cool.
So he's entered.
Yeah.
In the pro-am class, this is awesome. I don't even know how these two are allowed to even race in this.
Pro-Am of Super Trofeo?
Yeah, Pro-Am of Super Trofeo. Running under the Flying Lizard banner. Tim Pappas and Jerome Bleakum. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, Tim's a gentleman driver.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to just say this. Tim is an animal behind the wheel. He's a few steps behind Ben Keating.
Yeah.
And,
that's.
But Tim can hold his own.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, he had the big accident at Bathurst, mm-hmm. but Tim can hold his own. Yeah. Okay. And he's been with Bleakamullen for like ever. Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. That's not a bad team.
Oh, yeah. You guys are in Pro-Am. I would be shocked if they weren't on the podium overall. Mm. Anyways, thought that was pretty cool. Let's move to Porsche Super. It's 37 Lamborghinis. Mm. I mean, I think when I was a kid, they probably sold 37 Lamborghinis overall in the United States. Let's move to the Porsche Cup. Hold on a second. I just had it. Shoot. Oh, this is even better. 41 cars are going to tow it up. I want to see that 7:15 race Friday night.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, you know what? That's like that Coda race we saw.
That's exactly where I was going with that, because that was fantastic.
That was.
Oh, that was like the way to end the day. Did they end the day that? Was that how they ended the day that day?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was wild. Because that was the doubleheader weekend. That was IMSA and WEC.
Yeah, and that was when that's when it was the Lone Star.
The Lone Star Mons.
Oh, well, when they did the big weekend.
Yeah. Oh God, that race was crazy. Mm. All right. As far as you know, then we got the rest of the IMSA field. Like the big field is pretty much the same as it was at Daytona, with the addition of the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
So welcome them to the paddock. I'm not expecting big things out of them. I think it's a mileage test session.
Yep.
Get the car beat up on at Sebring. So, but again, those in the know know these cars. Your first year, it's always a struggle. It's like next year is what you're looking forward to. They'll have hopefully two cars here, and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. Other big news in IMSA: Cadillac and Chip Ganassi will end their relationship at the end of this year. Seems like it's a mutual parting of the ways, quotation fingers. Mm. I have to think Ganassi has something else in the pipeline.
Yeah, I would think so.
I've been thinking about this, like, there was a statement that Mike Hull made in the interview, or the article that he gave, the interview gave to Marshall Pruitt when the story broke, that Ganassi was looking to continue in IMSA, okay? Not WEC, but just IMSA.
IMSA,
okay? Yeah. So kind of go down the road, like, okay. So I'm a little curious on this. Is there anything prohibiting them from running two Hondas? Because they have the Honda tie-in in IndyCar.
Yeah, I don't think so, considering the fact that the plan at the end of last year was going to be adding two more Hondas.
Somewhere.
Because Andretti and...
Shank. It was supposed to be two. It was one and one.
Shank and Wayne Taylor were running one each.
And they were
the rumor was going to be
two
they were going to double up.
So... Yeah. I'm kind of going by default to that. All right. Okay. The other reason I'm going to Honda too is there's this big rumor about Honda going to NASCAR. Now, Ganassi sold the NASCAR stuff to Trackhouse. Mm-hmm. Could they somehow leverage Ganassi with another team? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, that's kind of spitballing with that. So, but I'm kind of thinking, because Wayne definitely wants to do WEC as well. Now, I don't see Wayne packing everything up and going to WEC and staying behind an IMSA, unless he's going to do it, which, I mean, he could. But he's got so much built here with Konica Minolta.
Yeah, I was...
You know, which is... It's a huge... That's where they spend their money in North America. So, could they take it? Yeah. I mean, could they... What I would say with Wayne, knowing how he works, he wants the team in IMSA, he wants the team in WEC.
Yeah.
I think that's how he probably would like to see it. And with being with Andretti, that could happen.
I was going to say, with this partnership with Andretti, Andretti Global, would that be a better option to have Andretti go into WBC that way?
Yeah. Michael definitely would do that. Now, I got a question. Knowing that the Ganassi contract was 2 years, so this is the last year. So the contract was up, okay? So it's just a matter of whether. Had Andretti gotten the green light on him, F1, right? Would they have dropped Honda and picked up the Cadillacs and taken on both programs? Because in theory, you could run the Cadillacs in Europe out of the shop in England.
Yeah.
Okay. Is something in the works there? I don't know. I mean, this is all, kind of weird, but, and then if that was the case, then Ganassi would pick up the Hondas.
Right.
Okay. Throw that out. I don't think BMW is going to leave, Letterman.
No.
Now, BMW did run with Ganassi back in the DP days.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not 100% certain, unless Bobby doesn't want to do that and focus on IndyCar.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who knows? But maybe it does. I don't know. Anyways. No, I'm not kind of going down that route. I don't think that's... Now, what else is out there? Lamborghini? Well, they're already in with Iron Lynx.
Right.
So, the other one that's out there that supposedly wants to come here is Alpine. But, apparently Shank's been walking the dog on that one. And some other people have been trying to get in with them. And they're not 100% certain they want to come. I think it's a huge mistake, but...
Yeah.
But who knows? That could change. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's out there that could... That God only knows... And I dare I say it, is Ford. So we had the tie-in with Ford at Ganassi with the GTs and Multimatic, okay? Supposedly Multimatic is the preferred chassis builder for the Ford, if they come. So they've walked the dog with Ford and Ganassi. Now, if they're going to run... couple cars here, could they also be going Ford with Shank? Because Shank ran some Ford DP cars. So, I mean, there's all this stuff, it depends, but the thing is, why would you run four Fords if they're only running two Cadillacs, I mean, because apparently Action Express is going to get the two Cadillacs, at least in IMSA.
They're going to move to two.
Two, yeah, which is fine.
So then...
And the thing there is, actually, Action Express has outperformed Ganassi.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is if they're going to go to two Cadillacs, that will leave an extra one that they could probably go throw over an IMSA. I'm sorry, not IMSA, WEC.
WEC. Well, the plan is to go two Cadillacs in Europe. Now, the question is there's teams over there looking. All right, so TF Sport, which is around the Corvettes over there, supposedly they're interested. There's a few other teams over there that are interested. Mm. The only other thing that's out there there's two. This Ferrari, but I have to think it's going to run under the Ricci banner. But I could be 100% wrong.
If Ferrari comes in.
Yeah. I mean, although knowing Ferrari, they're going to run an AF Corsa with Ricci. That, you know, yeah. That's, I mean, would they let Ganassi run? Sure. But I don't know where Chip's tie-in with Ferrari is there.
Yeah.
All right. IndyCar is desperate for another engine manufacturer. Okay. The one that's been out there that's being, has been talked about several times is Toyota.
Yeah.
Toyota runs in WEC. Mm-hmm. They run the Lexus here. What prohibits them giving Ganassi two of those things to run over here and run them under the Lexus banner? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they just want to run IMSA, they're not looking to run WEC, okay? Because that's, when you read it, they just want to run IMSA.
Yeah.
What? Then Toyota's like, okay, they'll just dump them with those guys. Mm-hmm. Let them run. We'll put some people with them. You got a reputable team that runs them. You know, but because next year's the year that hypercars are allowed here because it was after 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And Toyota doesn't have to pay anything. They don't have to pay $1 million because it's already paid because of Lexus. Mm-hmm. Ferrari, the same thing because the Ferrari's already run here. So I probably think if Ferrari's coming, it's going to go AF Corsa with Ferrari or something. And it might just be one car. Who knows? But I mean, that's, I think all of us, all the American sports car fans want to see it, Ricci. Affiliation with Ricci.
I would like to see
it. I would too.
I think he's.
Do I think Toyota with Ganassi via Lexus? That has legs because Chip ran a Lexus DP car. So, I mean, you have to, when you read the article, you got to really look at the words and stuff, which a lot of, I have to think there's something. There's something else. There's something smoking out there that's starting to smoke, and it could be Ford.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and the other thing is Shank is not.
Who's running the Ford? Multimatic's. Who's running the Ford program? It's Multimatic, right? Here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They're doing most of that stuff.
So maybe Chip takes over the GT program?
Yeah.
You know? Because Multimatic, like, they're not really a race team. They're engineering, they're everything but a race team. Whereas Pratt and Miller, yes, they built the Corvettes, they build them, but they're also a race team.
Yeah.
Okay. Ganassi, yeah, maybe they're going to take the GT program over as a precursor to Ford coming to run in GTP. I don't know. You just got to think through things, you know. You just got to look at the tie-ins that Ganassi's had. They're all over the place.
The only the other thing that I threw out was if Pratt and Miller takes over the Cadillac GTVs.
No, they're not. They got so much on their plate with those GT3s. Okay. You know, and those things are like selling like hockey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean, the other one that's out there too is rumored is McLaren.
McLaren doing
a GTV car.
Oh.
Now, yeah. I don't know how Zach gets along with Chip, okay? Don't know.
Well,
but you're not gonna so if it's gonna be IMSA, let's just say IMSA. I would say yes, I could see that happening. And United Autosports runs them over in WEC.
Okay.
Even though Zach's a part owner of that, okay, it looks kind of fishy.
Well, which isn't United Autosports already running the McLarens?
The GT cars.
Yeah.
But the GTP cars. No, IMSA, like the whole thing is Ganassi's people are just saying they're looking for IMSA. No,
yeah, because Proton's doing the Ford and the Porsche over in WC.
Porsche 963 and the Ford GTs. Yes.
Mustang GT3s. Right. Yeah.
So there's this whole, like, you know, when you read it, they just want to be an IMSA. I don't think Chip wants to be overseas anymore. I mean, he's done it, you know. It's a hassle, you know. I mean, you got to be. Now, like somebody like Michael Andretti, I mean, Could I see them running two cars? Yeah, I could. Mm-hmm. Now, I just think, I think maybe this whole thing, I think this Ford Formula, I think this Formula One thing kind of threw a whole monkey in the wrench. That's what I think.
For
Cadillac. I think the thing was, I wouldn't have been surprised to see them leave a Cadillac with Action Express. Two cars go to Taylor. Taylor takes Taylor Andretti. Mm-hmm. And the Andretti takes it with, you know, as they build, as a gateway to get into FIA racing, yeah, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think that's where this whole thing kind of blew up. Mm-hmm. All right. But I also think Ganassi, something's going on with Ganassi in terms of, you know, could they be taking on the GT program for Ford? Yep. Because that's really just Multimatic.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Toyota, Lexus, who knows? There's also this big rumor that Hyundai's been looking, you know? And Brian Hurd has supposedly been sniffing around with that. Now, I don't know if Brian... Now, if it's Brian Hurd with Chip Ganassi, yes. I mean, Hurd has a tie-in with Ganassi, so...
Yeah.
I think there's something else going on that, you know... I think people just need to kind of keep their eyes open and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. watch as the season evolves and see what happens. I mean, you know, we all got blown away when Lamborghini announced. So, I mean, I'm expecting mm-hmm. bigger things from Lamborghini next year. I hope they're around for 5 years. That's what I really do.
Well, yeah.
It's a V12.
Yeah.
Is it a V12? Or V10?
Checking.
We are checking. We're on plan Z. So, anyway, so that was kind of the... That was probably the biggest piece of news that dominated. You know, outside of Ollie getting the ride. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Carlos will be back next year. We're still checking?
Still checking.
Still checking? Oh, Felipe Massa filed a lawsuit.
V8.
It's a V8. All right. V8. Well, it's a V8.
Lambo's a V8. All right. Well.
You know, I mean, hold on a second. I was trying to find... Tony Stewart made his top field debut this weekend, last weekend.
Oh.
The Gator Nationals. That's pretty cool. All right. Anything else? Oh, Sebring winner? Overall, we're not going to pick GT because GTD is like, could be anybody. Honestly. Probably be an Aston Martin this time around.
Let's go BMW.
Ooh.
Because I don't think Cadillac's going to make it four in a row, and Porsche won by a pretty good margin.
I'm going to go...
At Daytona.
I'm going Wayne Taylor. Honda.
Honda. Okay.
Acura.
Yeah.
Honda. Is it Acura or Honda? What is it?
It's an Acura running under a Honda Racing Company.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go Andretti Global. Andretti. Wayne Taylor with Andretti Global. That's what I'm going with.
The 10 or the 40 car?
I don't know which BMW you picking. I'm just going to say one of them.
I'll go 24.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to pick one of them. I don't care who. As long as one of them wins. Is Jensen back for this race?
I think so. This is an endurance race. Or, I'm sorry. It's a...
is it him? It's the endurance car. Oh, no. It's...
No.
Oh, hold on. Oh, crap. All right. Now, see.
Oh, no, I guess not, because he's now, isn't he full time over in IMSA? Or
he's in WEC.
WEC.
Hold on. Oh, thank God I'm on the IMSA page. Bear with me. I hate doing this, but we got checking. What's the entry list? Oh, there it is. Entry list. The 10 car. Oh, mm-hmm. This is pretty loaded. Ricky Taylor, Philippe Albuquerque, and Brendan Hartley.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's not Jensen. I forgot who else was driving the car. It's Jordan? Louis Delatraz.
Yep.
And Colton Herta.
That's right.
Forgot about him. Oh, wow. Yeah. That is just... Oh. I mean, even the JDC car, it's got Westbrook, Hansen, and Vanderhelm. And the kid Vanderhelm last year was phenomenal.
Yeah, the GTP is not short of talent.
And the here's the Proton car. This is even worse. Jimmy Bruni, Aliseo Piccarello, and Julian Andelauer. I mean, again, they're not stiff. There is no stiff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Holy hell. Oh, Ben Keating. Welcome back. Oh, so here's the first two cars listed in LMP2. It's United Auto Sports, so that's where Ben Nico Pino is and Ben Hanley. Mm-hmm. The 04 car is listed second. That is the CrowdStrike car by APR with George Kurtz, Colin Brown, and Toby Sari. Holy crap. Jesus. And then GTD, Christian's favorite class.
GTD or GTD Pro?
What do you think's going to win? Probably a GTD car. That's when Christian goes off the hill, off the rocker. Oh, that is going to be wild. Oh, I can't wait for that race. Now I can't wait for the Porsche Cup race.
Yeah.
That's going to be the highlight. Anyways, well, good luck this weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Christian's walking down the aisle.
Yep.
I'll be there as the father of the groom. Nate will be there as a groomsman.
Yeah.
So wish you much luck to you and Megan.
Thank you.
So that'll be entertaining. We'll it's going to be interesting as we intersperse the racing in amongst the wedding.
Yeah.
Fortunately. Oh, the wedding. What time does it start? 11.
We've been on this. The Sebring will start before that does. So it'll be going on. I'm going to get killed if I ask for a race update in the middle of the ceremony.
Oh, Nate and I will take care of that.
I know you guys will.
Saturday. What time's the green flag?
10.
Nope, 9:40.
9. Oh.
Is that pre-pictures?
Whatever. 9:40 to 10 is... Oh, yeah.
No, 9:40. No. Race starts.
Yeah, it's going to be 9:40. Right. Oh,
Nate and I'll be...
Because then there's that 20-minute post show.
I better bring the... I'll bring the battery pack.
I'm sure there'll be an outlet nearby.
We'll have something set up.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, anyways, well, best of luck.
Yeah.
And in the immortal words of Nate, good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.